It was 31 years ago, but I remember it like it was just yesterday. I was in my first ministry as pastor of the Chapel on the Hill in Marietta, Ohio. I had been there for 2 or 3 months, and I had started preaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians when I arrived there, and I was up to chapter 4. And the passage dealing with the rapture of the church. Went through the verses, explained them, preached the message, and after the service was over, Bob Richardson, a man, godly man, who was then in his late 70s, came up to me and he said, "Pastor, that is the best message on the rapture of the church that I have ever heard." And then he said this, "But don't let that go to your head." What he said was absolutely necessary. Maybe it could have been said a little bit more graciously, but it was absolutely necessary. As a young pastor just getting his feet wet, I needed the encouragement that what I was doing was affecting positively the lives of the people I was ministering to. But I also needed the warning of exactly what he said. Don't let it go to your head. Because if I did, I would soon be out of the ministry. His words were good. As I said, maybe a little graciously better, but nonetheless, they were good words. I had received a tremendous honor from that man. He was an older man. He had known the Lord for a long time. He was a studied man. He was a godly man. And to hear that from him was a tremendous encouragement. And I trust that everyone who does anything for the Lord will hear the same types of honor, of comments made by those that are ministered to. At least they should hear those things. And I trust that you are those type of people. It doesn't have to be necessarily anything of a great and magnificent accomplishment, but anything that you do for the Lord, especially to the saints, should be recognized, honored, and then don't let it go to your head. This morning I want to preach a message, how to handle honor. Because every one of you should know how to do that. It's from the passage in Luke chapter 1 of the passage dealing with Mary and Elizabeth. And Mary did an excellent job here of handling honor. And I think there are some things that we can learn. So if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1 and we want to begin reading at verse 39. There are two sections to this passage. One is the blessing that is extended by Elizabeth. And then the second part of it is the response of Mary in how she handled it. So let's look at the blessing first, beginning at verse 39. "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Here is what Mary heard that encouraged her soul. I want you to notice a couple of things about this blessing. First of all, notice that Elizabeth, when she uttered the blessing, was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says that she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Filling of the Holy Spirit always indicates two things. First of all, control, that person has yielded themselves to the direction that God would have them to go. That they are available to the Lord for whatever His purposes are. And then secondly, the Lord's empowerment to accomplish those things. She was filled, and therefore, what she is saying is coming, in essence, from God Himself through His servant Elizabeth. Not only that, but it says back in verse 15 where the angel Gabriel is speaking to Zacharias about the birth of John. He says there, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." That tells me that when John, hearing the voice of Mary, and according to the passage here, leaped for joy in his mother's womb, he did so. It wasn't just an involuntary kicking of a child in the womb. It was something that was done under the control of the Holy Spirit. There was a supernatural element to this blessing, not only from Elizabeth, but from John, who was yet to be born, which is interesting. How can just a mass of tissue respond to the Holy Spirit unless it's a child? But we need not say more about that this morning. But nonetheless, this blessing that Mary received from Elizabeth was a message that was originated from the Holy Spirit Himself. Notice also verse 42. "And Elizabeth," that would be the she, "spoke out with a loud voice." In my mind, there is only one reason that Elizabeth would be speaking with a loud voice, and that was not because Mary was hard of hearing. Why does anyone speak with a loud voice? Because they're excited. Simple as that. You ever go to a football game? "Oh, good, we just scored a touchdown." Now, when something exciting happens, your voice gets loud. And Elizabeth was excited beyond belief, if we can say that in a biblical passage, about the news that she had just heard. Now, maybe we better understand some things here. First of all, it talks about when Mary came, she saluted her in verse 40. And then later, in verse 44, Elizabeth says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded." I take it that salutation was not simply, "Hey, Elizabeth, it's Mary, are you home?" I take it that there had to be more of a conversation going on here, that Elizabeth would recognize that Mary was pregnant. After all, she was only possibly days pregnant. There was no physical evidence of her pregnancy. So for Elizabeth to understand this, there had to be some communication of that to her. And it's just not recorded here, but I take it it had to be. But notice exactly what she says. Beginning in verse 42, she said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." The word blessed here comes from a Greek verb, eulogeo. It's made up of a little particle, ou, which means good, and logeo, to speak or to say. We get our English word eulogy from it. A eulogy is literally speaking good about somebody. And that's the essence of it here. Mary, when people talk about you, they are going to be saying good things about you. And when they speak about that child that is in your womb, there are going to be good things that are said about him. But notice when you get down then, verse 45, "And blessed is she that believed." The word blessed there is a different Greek word. It's makaria. Spiros Zodiotis, a Greek Bible teacher, when teaching on the Beatitudes, spoke of this word makarios. And he said, a bad translation is the word happy. He said, although that can be included in it, the gist of the word is found in a word that you hear within it, charis, which is the Greek word for grace. A person who is blessed is a person who has received grace from God. Unmerited favor. And what he's saying here, verse 45, or what Elizabeth is saying here, is you are one who has been graced by God on account of you believed. Do you realize that the grace from God always comes on the basis of personal faith in the provision of God, never by any other means? Mary, you done good. Maybe not the best translation, but one that we understand. Because when you believed, God did a wonderful work of grace. How did Mary respond? Well, before we look at that, may I say to you that there are three ways that a person can respond to such a salutation or such a blessing. Number one, well, I deserve it. After all, I am pretty special. I was out there and I gave myself wholly to doing this, and surely it's right that I should be blessed. Then that's not grace, is it? People get all full of themselves. As my mentor at ABC, Dr. Ryder, used to say, man is the most curious of God's creation. You pat him on the back and his head swells. And that's the case, especially if you're a professional athlete. You think the world revolves around you. That was not Mary. The other way that you can go is the exact opposite. Well, you know, I really didn't do much of anything. God could have used anybody, and he just happened to choose me. And I was totally passive in all this. Wait a minute, hold it. You were not totally passive. You believed. You maintained a purity that we spoke of last week because you were trusting God and His Word as being true and effective in your life. And that took a lot of work to do. Oh, yes, it took the grace of God to accomplish it, but you had to set yourself to being used by God Himself to accomplish God's purposes. And here's something that, ladies, I want you to consider, especially ladies this morning. Of all the works that any human being has ever accomplished, Mary excelled above all. May I say to you that there is no greater thing that any human being has ever accomplished in time than Mary. And that is, she became a mother. Our society today is putting down motherhood, of holding females back. No greater event in history is there than the birth of Jesus Christ and consequent his giving of himself. But in a human perspective, Mary accomplished more than anybody else ever has. Blessed are you, Mary, among women, well spoken of. But don't let that go to your head. And she didn't. We see here in verse 46 and down through how she responded. And I want to give you three things of how to respond to a blessing like that, taken from this passage here, and they all begin with R. And the first one is reflect. And what you are to reflect is to receive praise to God. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify myself. Oh, wait. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me Makaria, given grace by God. Not something I did on my own, but but someone that God used to accomplish his purposes. Theologians debate about the soul and the spirit, whether they're the same, whether they're distinct. And I'm not going to settle the debate this morning. I believe that they are distinct from each other, but in one sense, they are the same. They are the immaterial parts of man. And may I say to you, that to make it very easy in this passage, in verse 46 and verse 47, everything that was within Mary rejoiced in God, praised God. My soul doth magnify God. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Do you know, if it wasn't for Mary, there would be no Savior. Oh, you say, well, God could have used somebody else, but he chose Mary. So to that extent, no, he couldn't have used anybody else. He chose Mary. And because of her faith, he accomplished in Mary the greatest act of all time. And now, because of her faith, Mary as a Savior. So do you and I. My soul doth magnify God. Why is that? Because I was of low estate. In the society of the day, women were second-class citizens, unfortunately. Not in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of the culture of the day. And even throughout her life, they looked down upon her. When they looked at her character, they said, well, we can't believe in this thing of a virgin conceiving and giving birth. Certainly she had to be promiscuous. And they criticized her for it. Actually, they criticized the Lord Jesus when they said, we be not born of fornication. But the implication was, you were, therefore your mom's not that good. She magnified the Lord, and her spirit rejoiced, not in her accomplishments, but what God accomplished in her. He regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. It's all I am as a servant, but what a privilege it is to be a servant of the Most High God. And consequently, because of what God's grace did, I will be called blessed for a generation or two. Oh, wait a minute. All generations will call me blessed, meaning that the effects of what I have done will last throughout time. There's a thought to ponder for a while. Sometimes we think when we're out in ministry and we minister to a person that the ministry stops there. You share the gospel with somebody and they come to faith in Christ. Well, that's it. Well, wait a minute. That person then should be going out and sharing their faith in Christ with another. And so consequently, your ministry is reproducing itself there and with another and with another and with another. Great Shepherd Psalm. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, not just some. First thing, she reflected the praise to God. It's not my doing, it's yours. Secondly, she rehearsed the marvelous grace of God. Notice what she says here. Verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. He hath, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She rehearses all the gracious acts of God in what he has done. And notice they're all written in the past tense. But what's interesting about this is none of those things are yet fulfilled. They're all yet future. tense as far as their ultimate fulfillment. Look at them again, beginning at verse 50 or 51. He has shown great strength with the power. He scattered the proud. Wait a minute. There are still many proud people today. He's put down the mighty. There's still mighty people in positions of rulership. He has exalted those of low degree. There are still people that are way down there that haven't been exalted yet. He has filled the hungry. They're still hungry. The rich are still rich. And look at the nation of Israel. Persecuted to this day. But all these things are written in a past tense, which means this, they are so certain, even though they're not done yet, the certainty of them being accomplished is 100%. It's only a matter of time. And when Jesus Christ returns, every single one of those things shall be fulfilled. Do you know when God works through you to another, He always brings His purposes to a conclusion. There are never any loose ends. And Mary is rejoicing in the work of God. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. Here's another thing. Whatever God does, God always does according to His holiness. Never, ever, ever say in ministry, well, the end will justify the means. It never does. The means is just as important as the ends that it is to achieve. It doesn't matter how I do this, just as long as it gets done. No, God always, always works according to His holiness. And Mary here is rejoicing in all the works of God. Do you realize that it is absolutely necessary and right to rejoice in the works of God? From the very beginning of time, that was the proper response of God's created beings. Go back to Job chapter 38. I should call you up here because as many times as you've been through Job, you probably have it memorized. Where God says to Job, where were you when I created? And I put out the foundations of the world and I laid the cornerstone, the very first part of creation. And all the angels, the sons of God, sang out for joy. They saw what I did and they responded in praise. That's always the right response. She rehearsed all the marvelous works of God. Then finally, remain. Reflect, rehearse, remain in the place of ministry while it is yet appropriate. Verse 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Why 3 months? Well, when she came there, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. It's soon going to be time for her to give birth to John, and her opportunity for ministry is going to be done at that point in time. In fact, she's probably going to be in the way. But now she's going to be 3 months along, and her pregnancy is going to be starting to show and so forth. It's time for her to get back to where she was. But it was appropriate for her to stay there at that time to encourage each other. Here are two women in whom God is doing miraculous things. Difficult things. Remember, Elizabeth is now long past the childbearing years. Who can I pick on? I need a woman who will say, Pastor, you can pick on me this morning. Rosemary, thank you for volunteering. Suppose you were to become pregnant today. How excited would you be?
You notice there's two ways of saying that. Real excited or real excited. Same words, different meaning. Would you be a little bit afraid? I think so. Would you want somebody to comfort you, to counsel you, to encourage you, to help you in the tough times? And I think that's exactly what Mary was doing. Mary, on the other hand, was a younger woman. She wasn't going to experience all the physical difficulties. Obviously, she's going to experience the ones generally associated with birth, but not with an older woman. But she had the particular problem of being a virgin. And how is that going to affect her reputation? In fact, she's going to have to tell Joseph one of these days what's going on. She needed some encouragement. And so the two of them were perfect matches for each other. And she remained there while it was yet appropriate. Sometimes we look at ministry and we minister to a person and the thing is accomplished and we're excited about it and we say, well, now we need to move on. No, if God is blessing the ministry, stay there. You don't need to go on to bigger and better things. You just need to keep on until God moves you to a different place. And when all is said and done, you won't let it go to your head. You will accomplish the will of God. You will have been encouraged in the will of God. Others will recognize it and bless God for it. And you'll remain the servant of God in ministry. I hope that when someone ministers to you and blesses you with some act of grace, that you're quick to say to that person, I appreciate the work of God that He's done through you. Blessed are you, well spoken of. That's necessary. And I hope when you minister to folks and they say the same things to you, that you don't let it go to your head. That you turn it into praise to the God who accomplished it by rehearsing His good works, remaining in that place of ministry till God moves you elsewhere. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this example of two godly ladies. And the one especially who accomplished more than any other merely human being has ever accomplished. Lord, may we be quick to recognize the gracious gifts from God expressed in the ministry of others, and may we be quick when we receive those blessings to turn it into praise to you. Lord, encourage us with these words today that we might be the Marys and Elizabeth of our generation and continue the process from generation to generation to generation. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.